welcome to Game Chat, the video game book club on the internet. This is for October the 8th, 2019, where we are talking about the game Inside. It was released back in June of 2016, developed by Playdead, and is available on PC, PS4, Switch, iOS, and Xbox One. A little synopsis of the game is... This is really short. Hunted and alone, a boy finds himself drawn into the center of a dark project. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so we always do, for this listening, we always do intro, so you know who you're listening to, if you don't recognize our lovely voices by now. And we always have intro questions that go along with the game that we're talking about. This week's intro question, since Inside is a side-scrolling, you play as a boy who's kind of running through mud and rain and running through all these conditions, or walking, whatever your play style is. So this week's intro question is, what's the worst, what's the worst conditions you've ever been in when doing physical activity? For an example, like running in the running for your life in the rain and the mud. Starting at the top.
This is Franco. I'd have to say when I was like 12 or 13 in the summer, we had a golf course like 4 or 5 blocks away near the park where we played. And as a bored child in the summer, I would go and... scoop up lost golf balls out of the creek. And I slipped and fell into the creek. Luckily, it was like, I guess if a creek has low tide, this had a low tide. But it was all muck and mud and silt. And for a brief fleeting moment, I'm like, oh my God, this is quicksand. I am a goner. Because it's literally, you sink in like thigh, you know, almost knee deep.
Yeah.
Into this silt, and it's like, how am I ever going to get out of this? You do a marine belly crawl. That's how you get out.
So you got out, obviously.
Yes.
Some say Franco is still there to this day.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, I did meet him once, but you know, it could have been just a really convincing
doppelganger. Spirit. Yeah.
Or a doppelganger.
Yep, and then had to explain why I was covered in silt and mud from head to toe.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. So that's it. All right. Next.
That's you.
That's me.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan. I'm trying to think. I mean, it's most physical activity in my life can get played down to being a marching band in high school and college. I guess this is a little more general, but in college, 1 year, because our football team was mean, we weren't allowed to practice on the actual practice football field like every other year. And we had to practice in this sketchy field behind an abandoned middle school in the heart and like just outside downtown Atlanta.
Yeah.
We all walked in groups because we were terrified. But anyways, that that field, it wasn't even like a real, like it was like a semi-level field. And like, they had to go out there and spray paint everything, but it was terrible to march on because it was like bumpy. And it was covered with fire ant hills.
Oh,
and
that's horrible.
And so we practiced for an entire year. We practiced our entire marching, you know, our entire marching season was on this like bumpy, like if the grass was mowed, that was like a blessing. And we had like we put little flags, and it's like, okay, remember your spot during this song is here, but don't stand there during practice.
And that's when the marching band learned their incredible improvisational dance routine.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So it was that. Thankfully, the football team let us back on the practice field the following year. But it was like, really, people? Really?
What a situation.
That reminds me of the time when my sister's marching band got to perform at like Giant Stadium, and they didn't want the color guard or the band. They got like upset at the band for using like their flagpoles or whatever, because it'll damage the field. But somehow a bunch of really heavy 200-pound football players with metal cleats are not going to go and damage the football field.
Yep. Just against the marching band at every turn. And it's like, our football team was even good. Maybe we'd be like, okay, well, they need to practice. No. No, we've never been good. Until now, where we just beat Tennessee randomly.
Sorry. Well, obviously, they thought really highly of themselves. All right. Next.
Okay. Sorry.
This is Madeline. Most of the physical activity I've had to do was required for school. So in sixth grade, we had our track and field day at the end of the year. And I lived in Kansas at the time, and it was unseasonably cold. It was like 61 and foggy. And I was for sure that I was going to get, hypothermia or frostbite or something. Oh, it wasn't like horrendous and certainly not life threatening, but
yeah,
I was just not having a good time.
For sure. Right, next.
Hi, this is Kevin, and I haven't really had anything too horrible.
Never had to run to catch up to the bus or no. All right. Well,
I haven't had anything too horrible, but I have had to like deal with some pretty crazy shoveling and stuff during the winter, where it's kind of like multiple inches of snow, and then you're shoveling when the snow is also when it's also snowing at the same time.
That's strenuous for sure. At first I thought you said shuffling.
Yeah.
And I'm imagining like just someone like shuffling. Yeah. Snow's hard.
Yeah. Great. And like especially also when you're actually had a when I was going to grad school, I would walk from the train station, and that was going through some unshoveled icy walks and stuff. So,
all right, thank you. Next,
This is Chris. So I've had plenty of like near, like not I won't say near misses, but like, there have been times where I've done my like 70 plus paper route and gotten home, and then just the skies have opened with thunder and lightning and downpouring and all that stuff. Being on the beach and just like a storm rolling in just out of nowhere, type of things. But I've had both extremes where. Let's see. First one was we had probably a good 3 feet, I want to say. At the time, it was probably like waist deep of snow. Come through on a Saturday morning when I was doing my paper route at the time. And that was fun because the primary bulk of my paper route was in an elderly housing park. So when I do my paper route, especially on Saturday morning, I do it pretty early. So the housing authority had yet to really do any plowing or snow blowing or anything. So I was basically trudging through waist deep snow, pulling my metal cart full of about 70 papers. And mind you, Saturday morning. So each paper was probably weighing close to 3 pounds with all the ads and everything.
Yeah.
So I'm just like wading through all that snow, pulling that thing behind me, and then trying to find a spot to put the paper because everyone's door was all snowed in. So some people preferred their paper in between the storm door and the door.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just nowhere to put it. So you had to like hope that their mailbox was at least accessible. And then the other extreme was when I was working for a grocery store, and it was probably the hottest, or at least one of the hottest days of the year, with quite high humidity. And I was pretty much the only person out on this big, huge lot returning all the carriages. And the manager at the time decided that, or completely forgot that I was out there and never bothered to offer to send anyone out to help or even have me come in for a little bit to cool down, because I came in for my break just like drenching in sweat, and she was like, oh yeah, I probably should have like had you come in and from the heat and rest and everything. So it's like, yeah, you probably should have done that. So, and it was just like, it, you know, not only was it the hottest day, but it was fairly busy and hard to keep up with all the carriages.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time we had flowers and stuff outside. So they wanted us to, at a specific time, block the flower arrangement with carriages. So I did all that before I came in and went out, and obviously stupid customers thought that it was fair game, but I had like shoved a no parking sign in the carriages to kind of like lock everything in place, and did it to a point where like you had to kind of maneuver the sign in a specific way in order to get it out. But they had found some way to do it, and then like half the carriages were gone.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I love the Frank said he was a paper boy too. I love the thought of you guys being paper boys. That's,
well, I mean, the best part about it was I was making about $500 to $600 during Christmas with all the tips.
That's great.
Nice.
That is really nice.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is stuff. Mine would be no doubt, first to mind is one time I was visiting some distant relatives with a cousin of mine who was younger than me. So I was the oldest. I was the one that was kind of like leading her. I was at the time probably like 12 or 13. No. About 13 or 14 probably. So me and her went out kind of like hiking by ourselves. Like it was still close to the property, but it was just like out in like not even dense woods, just like, you know, just regular kind of like wooded area. We went over a stream. I was just kind of walking around. And then the only thing that I can guess is that we must have wandered onto someone else's property. And this was down in, was it North Carolina or Kentucky? Anyways, I think it might have been Kentucky. And all of a sudden, we're just walking, having a great time. All of a sudden, there's a bullet hits a tree about 2 feet from me.
Oh.
So I book it back in the direction that we came. I'm like, I'm going to die. I'm being shot at by some rando in the woods. My cousin, I'm like screaming over my shoulder for her to like follow me, like run as fast as you can. We ran a few feet. Another bullet hit like a bush about 4 feet away. And we just kept running. She almost didn't make it. Like, at first she hesitated at the stream, like, cause we had to jump. I just like jumped on some rocks to get across really fast. And she hesitated. I was like, come on, you gotta do it. And so she came over. We ran back to the house. I'm not even sure we told anyone. I'm not even sure we told any of the adults, because I think we were kind of like worried that we had done something wrong. And yeah, so that was the day that me and my cousin were shot at in the woods.
Yes. Wow.
Only
I like, it was funny because like I've always loved like the Tomb Raider games since I was a kid, like since Tomb Raider 1 came out, and like my Tomb Raider instincts started kicking in. I was like, we need to run. We need to get away from this gunfire. I'm not sure that I've ever ran that far or been that scared. Maybe I'm not even sure since.
Wow.
Yeah. That's my story. Anyways, into the game. Yeah, thanks for sharing those, guys. So what did you guys think about the what did you guys think about the mechanics, the controls for this game? Did you like that it was a side scroller? Tell me your thoughts.
It wasn't, you know, the controls weren't horrible. Played on a PS4 for anyone, just for notice. I kept getting it in the. Did we play Limbo?
No, we haven't played Limbo.
But it's very much kind of like Little Nightmares in a way.
Similar, yes.
So I was getting that vibe.
And it's the same people who did Limbo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, control-wise, it wasn't, I mean, too difficult to navigate and interact with things. It's just the figuring out some of the puzzles might have been a little. And some of the, you know, to the fact that a lot of this stuff wasn't really easily identifiable.
Mm, yeah.
That you would just walk into a situation and bang, you're dead. And it's like, okay. And luckily, you know, the mechanic was it, you know, it kept a very tight checkpoint system where you were only like 10 seconds back in the game.
Yeah. 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 That was nice that you didn't, I mean, you know, yeah, it didn't usually put you too far back after if you end up dying.
That was like the one thing I was really thankful for with this game, is that it didn't like reset you back to the beginning of the level. It basically reset you pretty much back right to like where you died, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Pretty close, yeah.
Which was fantastic, because there was what was it? Oh, it was the one where you had to hide under the pipe, and then you had to turn the wheel to lower the cage when you were on the top of the roof.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So there was a point where I did that, and then I jumped on the other section of the roof and didn't quite get the timing right and got caught. And then luckily it brought me back to the beginning of me in the cage, rather than having to like do the turning of the wheel all over again. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was great, because it was just one of those things where it was just so well balanced in that respect, because you didn't have to go back to another stressful part to start it all over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Which was good, because some of the puzzles were very fine in their timing and stuff.
Yes.
You couldn't be off by a lot. You had to really nail some things.
Yeah. Yeah. It also did that with like, I'm thinking about like the jumps and stuff when you were in the kind of the half water levels with the creature that would, you know, catch you, and you had to outswim it. Some of those, like you had to time some of that stuff just right.
Creature that essentially behaved like a Boo from Mario. Where?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, well, only if you were in your submarine and had light. It was the light that made her stop. Because if you or made it stop, if you just looked at it as while you were swimming, without the submarine ship thing, it still came after you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took me a while to figure the light part out, but the little one man sub was my favorite mechanic.
It was cute.
Yeah.
I love floating around.
Yeah.
And it was so well done too, with the whole, the silt, like floating in the water when your light was shining around and everything. So it was just so visually appeasing or appealing.
Yeah, the art and the level design was really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just like, I don't know, like the physics, like everything seems so real. Everything moves like so realistically, and
yeah,
things that have weight have the weight you expect them to have, and
yeah, like the air boxes would go higher if you didn't stand on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sub's a little bit too strong, but
yeah, I mean,
it's a future sub.
The hull has some incredible resistance to damage, but not the glass though. Glass succumbed right to the sea witch.
Adamantium.
Yeah. So I know Frank, you're really into the physics with games, so. You didn't have any qualms with the physics. You liked
it. No, the ragdoll effects and the distances seemed to ring pretty true when you jumped and stuff. So it was consistent with that. And yeah, like the sub and the swimming was very realistic kind of thing where, you know, the movement seemed to match up with things. Even the blob was, we'll get to the blob later.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I mean the physics was really well. I have to say the first time I had to go to a walkthrough was probably the dumbest, but it was like I just couldn't see it. It was with the early on with the chicks and the the machine to blow the safe off the rafter.
Yes,
it's like I just didn't see the vacuum. It's like
I think that was my first time too, because
it's like, what am I supposed to be doing here?
I mean, I saw
the machine started, and it's just not blowing anything.
Those poor chickens.
But they survived. They all went through the machine, and they all just
honestly, at first, I thought they were mice.
In the playthrough I watched, one of them did not survive, but he did. Okay. It took him a long time to do it, so he had sent a few of them through several times by the time he got it done. So. I wonder if they had like a max rotation.
Maybe.
I just said the the thing that you linked before, or was it some other one?
I watched Cryotic's playthrough.
Oh, since I didn't have much time, it was like I'm gonna watch a playthrough with no commentary that has everything in it. So it's like
that works.
Perfect run through at like with everything with like 2 hours or just under 2 hours.
So how did you guys like the puzzles in the game that were kind of scattered throughout?
Aside from the chicks gave me an issue, but just not seeing the vacuum part.
You had a lot of physics-based puzzles.
Yeah, I found it challenging, but not too hard.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stuff you just had, I don't know what you want to call it, the sonic boom section above the factories.
That one was really neat.
It was neat. I didn't understand timing. What was happening, but sure. Yeah.
It was all timing. They must have had, you know, I'm just imagining they had some sort of sonic boom generator at the end of this, you know, building. And it was just like every 6 seconds generating this huge sonic.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was a really cool part. Especially with the physics and stuff. I did have trouble with the The one, I mean, did I figure out the chick puzzle by myself? Maybe I did. Anyways, because one of the ones that I remember having to look, like the first, like one of the few times I had to look toward, you know, at first was with the one part when you're in that Sonic Boom place, as you were calling it, where you had to rotate the metal, you had to rotate the structure so that you could climb up the ladder.
Mm-hmm. That was strictly timing, yeah.
I wasn't getting that, like, you, like, I was thinking, okay, so I put it at the ladder, but then how, like, I was thinking, oh, I have to stop it where it needs to go. I wasn't thinking, oh, I need to time it to the Sonic Boom. And so I kept trying to put it, like, on the ladder, and then I would get to the other side and wouldn't be able to, like, hide anywhere. So I tried it several times before I looked it up.
Same here. I had to look it up. I was doing the exact same thing. I was positioning the gear on the ladder, and then it's like, well, now that I get to the other side,
how do I do that? How do I get back to it?
Yeah, I'm getting blasted every time, which was a great animation. You just get obliterated.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
But it's oddly enjoying. But yeah, you had to stop it at a certain point and then restart the gear. And then just time it just right so the gear would come around, you know, and basically shield you twice. Yeah, so that was interesting. That was, you know, with the sliding door that, you know, with the rail. And if at one point the rail goes away, so you had to time it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was very well done physics-wise. And, you know, you had to really... Yeah, it was forgiving with the death, and it had to be because there were so many things just waiting, lying in wait for you.
Yeah.
That, you know, was like, oh, okay, now I got it. So it's like, I think the one video Madeline posted was accurate. It's like, it sort of had a mechanic where it's almost impossible not to die several times and a lot, because there's a lot of things you just don't see coming until it happens.
Right.
So it's like after a while, you sort of get desensitized to the kid, you know, being obliterated.
Do you? We can talk about that later. But yeah.
I was. It's like, well, you come, you know, it's like, okay, all right.
Well, in certain situations, I mean, it's when the kid's getting mauled by several different dogs multiple times, it was almost to the point where I was like, okay, I either need to shut this game off. Or give me the option to press a button to just skip this animation, because this is just like turning my stomach at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. That was roll around.
This is just way, way too much at this, like with how far you're going with this.
You're just petting their mouths.
petting their mouths.
As they're ripping your throat out.
Yeah, that was rough.
Just hugging you with teeth.
Yeah,
it's like
that was a classic part where it was like, this is easy. It's strictly timing, but man, there is like a 96% chance of failure if you don't get it just right. You know.
Yeah, but
one step behind Tomb Raider.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, miss a jump getting paled through the throat. You know, it's like...
Yeah, it's like a Tomb Raider game. That's what happens in the new Tomb Raider series.
Tomb Raider
game every time you die, Laura gets killed in some brutal way.
Which... How can we brutally murder Laura Croft?
That's pretty much what it turns into. I love the games, but anyways, we can move on. We're talking about Inside. Okay, so you know, as you progress through the game, of course, you go through different areas, different levels. You know, you start kind of like outside in the woods, it seems, and you eventually move inside. You know, factory and a mine and a flooded base facility, research facility,
town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You also go through a town. Did you guys have any favorite levels? I know we were just talking about, Frank was mentioning the which is basically kind of like, you know, the town, the cityscape, you know, where you have the sonic boom and you have to move through kind of like, you know, the upper floors of the of a facility or a factory or something. But do you guys have any favorite levels? Or levels that you hated the most?
The water was mainly because of the physics and the way you swam and the smoothness stuff. It was kind of nice. I liked, except aside from the, you know, the weird, whatever you want to call them, the evil mermaids or sea hags.
Mermaid.
Yeah, things that were chasing you down underwater.
How dare you call them hags, sir?
I struggle for the term. Thing with long hair.
Ariel.
But yeah, there we go.
Who drowns little
dingle hoppers.
Ariel on a bad day. But no, trying to think of an other area that I particularly liked. They're all pretty interesting.
I liked the first. I mean, I liked, you know, of course, the Sonic Boom area. I also liked the kind of going through, and then I think it's right before that area, but you have, like, the part where you're going through the town. You can see the line of people in the distance walking, you know, and being directed. And then I also liked the beginning, actually, like going through the forest with the trucks and the people. Yeah. So that was a very kind of like mysterious beginning to the game that kind of set the mood really well.
Yeah. I think I like the beginning part. I played Inside when it first came out back when it was an Xbox One exclusive.
Wow, back. Look at you, privileges.
Wow.
I mean, great. Jonathan. That's great.
Nothing wrong.
You're really happy
nothing
for you.
He's on the bleeding edge of technology.
Xbox One's literal only exclusive for how many?
Bill Gates has a photo on his desk.
Right.
Wow, man. Okay, we're done roasting you, Jonathan. It's
okay,
fine.
Okay, let's. Apology. I apologize.
Wow. Okay.
we only tease because we love you.
Right. Right. Sure.
Jonathan never comes back to game chat.
He has to. He's playing Layers of Fear too. So keep going, Jonathan.
Yeah, when are we playing that?
Next week, dude.
All this week.
Oh, crap. Okay.
I think we're all in the same boat, so you're fine. We're all playing it this week.
Okay.
Yep.
Month chat, more like last minute. Anyways, Inside. It's a game I played like however many years ago when it first came out. Mm-hmm. But all that, what I was originally going to say, is... I think I remember most, like, you know, the opening, that just like what you were saying with the woods and, because it's just like how it just throws you in, and I remember loving that, but then also just like, you know, like you said with the mystery and just how, you know, and how like those first like step, like nothing seems really that out of the ordinary yet. Like, you still don't know what the game is. It's just this boy running through the woods and he's being hunted. And it's just like, you're like, ooh. And then he goes into a cornfield and it's like, ooh. And then you start noticing things and it's just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, it's like, I think, like, it wasn't until, like, rewatching some videos did I even remember, I'm like, oh, yeah, the whole water sea hag thing. like, for some reason in my head, like, looking back, like, I remembered the water levels when I saw it, but it was like, oh, yeah, that was this game. For some reason, I was thinking it was another game. But yeah, no, I really like just the opening and level. Forest, the woods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Madeline.
I really liked the levels in the factory where the water was up above you.
Oh yeah, that's yes. What I was going to describe. The reverse gravity.
It really raises. That's really. I mean, there's weird stuff in the world before then, but that's really when it kind of sets the stage for like all of the rest of the weird that you're going to encounter after that.
Why?
Yeah, like what the heck is going on? This is So far, the physics have been great, and it's like I thought the same thing to myself when I got to that room. Wait a minute, this is physically impossible. You can't do this. You can't have air below water.
Not yet, Frank.
Not in my world.
Not in this timeline.
Right.
I know there's air that exists, or like a water, or like substance that exists where you can breathe in it.
Oh yeah, but
James Cameron, the Abyss.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds. I mean, it has to exist somewhere, right? I mean, there's all kinds of movies of like people finding like caverns underneath the earth where there's water above. Mm-hmm. So that has to come from somewhere.
There's a reason for that, but anyway,
it's biblical. But we'll get into that some other time.
What is rain if not?
Yeah. So did you guys notice any particular this chat's off the rails tonight? I don't even know. I've lost control.
Game's off the rails.
Yes.
So did you guys notice any like particular themes that you picked up on while playing the game?
Sure.
Happiness.
Yeah. Mind control, dominance. Yeah.
Big brother.
Yeah. Sort of a vibe-ish. Yeah, I mean, direct thing, yeah.
Could you just, for flavor, just give me some examples of that? So with the mind control, for those listening, I can name that. That's where, you know, go ahead and explain it, Frank.
Well, you put the, for lack of the glowing cap, and you suddenly take control of nearby workers and or people who are, for lack of a better word, affected.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really made for the really enjoyable conga line scene, where you sort of have to mimic everything that the other controlled people are doing. Otherwise, you risk being detected.
Yeah, that was something.
Yeah, that was interesting. and then, in fact, that was my favorite puzzle, which I figured out by myself, and I was like so proud I figured it out without dying. Was the you had to get the 20 workers on the scale?
Yes.
And it was like, oh, that was actually kind of fun. It's like, okay, let's get my traveling army of actually 19 workers. Oh, 18 and a dead body.
Yes. Get them on the scale and then take them and just have them run into a pit.
Yes. So it was like, an interesting dichotomy there where it's like, I need you, but now that I'm done with you, go ahead. You can fall wherever you need to fall.
Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah.
The first time I saw this game, I just watched a playthrough. And then afterwards, of course, I was like, look up other stuff about it. And I was really, I understood why people got mind control out of this, but even rewatching it, I still feel like there's a big narrative here about FOMO and like how you really want to be a part of something and it's like everyone is there and you really want to be a part of it and you finally get there and it's not what you thought it was going to be.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it, because just like how everyone was going towards like, basically the entire game you're going right. But so is everyone else in the game as well, all going towards the research center there at the final. And then you get to the... Sorry, I should define my terms. Fear of missing out is FOMO.
It still amazes me that people don't know, but sure.
Sorry, using my speak here. like when you finally get into the research facility and people are stopping, like they've finally quit trying to block you from getting in, and you're just staring with your face up against the glass like everyone else. But how everyone before is almost like gatekeepers, trying to keep people from being a part of the thing that's theirs. I don't know. That's the subtext that I got.
No, I can pick up on that. I never would have picked up on that while playing, but you saying it, like, I can definitely see that in the narrative of the game. And I like it because, like, with all these others, like, you know, I watched those two videos that you posted, Madeline, a couple of days ago, for those listening, those are done by Aaron Signal, and you can find those on YouTube, about Playdead's Inside. Yeah, and I've read a couple other things about the game because I was trying, which I couldn't find. Like, I couldn't find any, like, dev interviews or anything, really, other than just, like, people who had worked on the game talking about other stuff and not really the game itself. Because, like, I was getting bits and pieces of all of these different things. I was getting bits and pieces of, like there for a while, I thought it had something to do with, like, kind of, like, Holocaust. Because in the beginning, you're being hunted, and you're trying to escape these people, directing other people into trucks. And I was like, oh, God, this is going to be one of those games.
As well.
Yeah. I was like, this is going to be one of those games, man. And then, like, even with, like, the mind control, when that started being introduced, I was like, oh, yeah, this is, like, they're brainwashing them, like, or they're, like, repurposing these humans that they're collecting.
Ugh, yeah.
And then, but then, like, it started getting all muddled with, like, the, you know, with, like, the pulsing in the city. And then, like, you know, you start getting farther in, and I mean, I was still feeling some of that, but then, like, you know, you get to the end with the big blob of like legs and arms and bodies that you find that you eventually get sucked into. And I was like, I just don't know what this game is trying to tell me. even rolling along with like the blob of flesh. And I don't know if it's just because, I mean, it kind of like grossed me out, and I kind of like really, really turned my stomach. And I'm sure that that's kind of maybe the effect it's supposed to, but I was almost like, wow, like, I'm glad I haven't eaten, because this would really just, like, I'm not sure I could get, I think I'd have to take a break. But
it's just a little roly-poly meatball.
I was just like rolling it around. I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be thinking. And then it got to the end, I was like, I still don't know what I don't know what I should be getting out of this.
It's like we needed a little clue as to, you know. Well, it just left it open, very open to the imagination. The part that really sort of, I don't want to say a disconnect, but was like everything made, you know, was sort of like, I don't want to say believable or made sense. But the part where you finally get caught by the evil mermaid and you sink deeper and deeper and deeper and you don't die. And it's like, all right, what the heck's going on here? It's, you know, it's like, this is, every other evil mermaid has killed me, and now apparently I can breathe on the water. And
I thought it was the same one.
Forced conversion. I also thought it was the same one, but meh.
But thinking about it in the way that Madeline was describing it with the FOMO, which is the fear of missing out, I can kind of understand that better. Like, I think it seems like a broad enough thing that, like, I don't know, like, yeah, that helps. But yeah, while I was playing it, I was a bit confused on theme. I was getting all kinds of things, and it was completely crossing my mental signals of, like, by the end, I was just like, okay, that was, wow, something.
So you're thinking more of like a 1984 thing where it's like everybody's so mentally conditioned at this point that they just keep going along with everything?
It reminds me of a little bit of how they
did.
Limbo.
Limbo, yeah, because Limbo has this the same way that this game has, where the environment kind of just like it does do like a shift that makes, I guess, sense in somewhat, but in some ways, but where you're just going through so many different environments that do end up blending into each other, where it kind of gives you this sense where it doesn't feel entirely real.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just that. I mean, I was just like as normal trying to read into things, and everything was just getting blobbed together, as in the ending, mm-hmm. as in the blob that I was becoming. My whole thought process of the game was getting blobbed together as well, and I was just like, whoa. So I kind of,
you have the best endings for games.
So kind of like that blob of flesh that kind of rolled out of the, it finally made it out of the factory to freedom, only to die by the side of the lake. So did my whole like
a whale.
So did my whole like idea. So did my whole idea of this game of like what it means. Mm-hmm. It was that blob. It rolled out and it died by the lake.
I know what you're saying, Steph. It's like you're kind of intently taking notice and like, oh God, boy, where is this going? And then you're taking notes, and then the blob happens, and you just like throw all the notes.
What? Yeah, the UTM. What is this?
Oh well, throw away everything you thought.
I like. It starts out like kind of as like an episode of Twilight Zone, where you're like, oh, it's different. And then it's like, oh no, this is Black Mirror.
Yeah, we're getting there. Yeah, and it kind of did go there. Like it kind of like there are some Black Mirror episodes that at the end I'm like, I don't know what that was saying to me, but yeah, that happened. It said something. I'm not sure. Yeah,
I need a pillow. I need something to hug right now.
I was speaking of something to hug. Have you guys heard about the Inside Special Edition? That was you can't buy it now because it was only available for pre-order last year. But it was $375.
For what?
What did the special edition include?
Speaking of FOMO.
What does that say?
Nobody.
What is that? The article's title is Sex Doll Company Making Indie Mysterious 375?
A sex doll company was making something for Inside Special Edition.
Are they going to make a rag doll? Yes,
a blob doll?
This apparently this sex doll company is known for making very flesh-like dolls.
Oh, God.
So,
are they making a blob doll?
Yeah, it was
the bare minimum a ragdoll that you can use at your own.
It was
like
scale. Oh, no, okay, yeah,
but it was, but it's still supposed to come out, but
there was like,
it's very limited. so if you're looking
to bar from the meme, I ain't clicking on that crap.
Something, but I mean, hey. No, something you can hug.
Okay.
This game.
Speaking of needing a hug, I was really the one part after you become the blob, right?
Yes.
And then you're like sloshing along, and you get to the furnace, and you open the furnace. I'm like, oh no, we're not going to go there, are we? It's like, you know, and then you have to go get the block, and then even after I got the block, I said, oh, we get the block, we have to take the block back to the rocket engine. I'm like, are we still going to go through with this? The rocket engine, maybe? You know, it's, and then, no, it just opens the door. It's like, but I thought that was going to really go dark with the furnace and the rocket engine. I'm like, you know, the blob just wants to, you know, be done with it kind of thing.
Yeah, I was afraid that I was going to, like, I was going to throw myself into the fire. I was
I was already
done when it was, when you had to, like, put it through small holes and you would mm-hmm. hear, like, the squishing. And every time that you fell off of something, you would hear, like, all the bodies moaning in pain. Mm-hmm. I was like, I mean, even just thinking about it, I'm just like, ugh, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then when you,
yeah,
you land on the scientist, and the whole bottom half of the blob is covered with blood.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, you know, and there for a moment, I was like, "Oh, is this going to be because, like, you know, once the blob takes you in?" I was thinking, "Oh, this is going to be like." Because you start, like, just running through everything and killing the mm-hmm. scientists. Because for those listening, like, this blob is inside of, like, this, like, huge tank. And these scientists are there, like, obviously these scientists are doing, you know, human experiments, you know, because you find a bunch of stuff as you're going through the levels. And, you know, it seems like something horrible happened at the facility because, you know, some of the rooms are, like, underwater completely. You find dead bodies in certain places. And so, you know, you get to this, like, huge tank and you find a way in, and these scientists are just, like, they're staring into the glass at this huge mound of flesh, like, just gigantic, and it sucks you in. And, yeah. And so, but then, like, once you become part of the flesh, like, you know, you kind of see that the point is to kind of, like, run through all of the rooms, like, as this huge blob of flesh, just, like, trampling on, you know, scientists and crushing them and just knocking them down. And I was like, oh, this is like a revenge. Like, you know, the experiment that's being experimented on is taking revenge of what has happened to them and what has happened to it. But then it just got crazy.
Yeah.
It definitely did seem like the scientists were helping you at the very end. And, like, even, like,
yes,
mm-hmm. You have to get help from one, at least one. And then once he gives you the block, then he's, like, shoving you on forward. Like, go on.
Correct.
Yeah, dangles the one box in front of you.
And it... The fall of the blob down the hill to the beach was reminded me exactly of when the very beginning, when the boy kind of mm-hmm. falls down the cliff into the woods, and then I was like, where did the boy come from? Just
right. Is this is this coming full circle, or just is that meant to mean something?
Did anybody notice the fact that I just realized from the beginning that there's the one pig that has, like, the thing attached to it, and you're not exactly sure what it is. And then
the tail pops, like, off and still alive. Yeah.
Well, according to one of the videos, it was possibly from Limbo.
What the thing that was, like, in its tail or something,
yes,
looked like one of the flushy.
The mind control worms.
Yes.
Yeah.
From Limbo. Or at least person theorized in one of the videos.
Mind control worms in Limbo. Then again, I haven't played Limbo in a while. But this kind of feels like a much darker version of, I guess, like, I don't know, I just keep thinking of Aperture Labs. Like, or just
that,
like, some sort of, like, large research facility where it's just like a just much darker, eviler version of, like,
yeah, no, yeah, I for sure. Yeah, so we've kind of talked about like what we while playing the game or even after finishing the game, like, did you feel like that you wanted to know, like, do you wish that they would have given you some way to find out more backstory about the world, or, you know, given you like something at the beginning to kind of tell you like the environment that you're being dropped into, or do you think that kind of like adds to the mystery?
I think I remember I wanted to know more when I first played it.
Mm-hmm.
But thinking back on it, it's like, I think it's the mystery of not knowing, and then it just getting, you just have more and more questions, and the more you see, then you're just like, wait, what? I think that's what kind of makes this game so inherently special and different. You know, because it's like, I mean, it's kind of like the story itself is also kind of like the art style, where it's kind of like simplistic, yet there is a lot of depth to it, you know, but it's, you know, it's like you don't need all the detailed, you know, features, you know, of like, I guess the blob of flesh was pretty detailed. But you know what I'm saying. I think it's like it was that mystery that made it special, and then just how it was just a mystery that, you know, and how it was a completely different mystery than from what we knew. I loved how when you first played it, how like when you start out, you think you are a character running away from something. And then, you know, I think it wasn't until really the blob of flesh, for me anyways, it was like, oh, you were running towards something. Like, this wasn't you escaping, it was you rescuing. At least that's what I
got. That's one theory.
That's what I thought. That's what I think. But,
I would have appreciated a little bit more backstory, maybe try to make a little bit more coloring to what's going on. And thanks to when Madeline posted, some of this, I didn't even realize there were, you know, there's, I don't know how many secret rooms that have, and if you find them all, you get a little cutscene that tries to give you a little light on perhaps what's happening.
It does. Not to be.
But it's kind of like, I hate when games do that, because being a linear, you know, going right all the time game, you don't know, if you don't know the special rooms are there, well, you know, that's why they're special rooms. But if you happen to find the second one, it's like you just get a feeling of like, did I find the first special room or am I screwed? You know,
I felt a really strong, and that's one thing that like is interesting about this game and that I kind of like about it, is that I felt a very like, it gave me a very urgent like sense of like, you need to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't feel the need to like explore every angle, because I was like, I need to keep pushing forward. Like, something about just how everything was paced. And maybe because like it started out with you running, you know, and having to escape things. Like, I felt like I felt that pushing me the entire game. And maybe because also I played it in one playthrough, like all together. So I didn't stop or anything. So I kept that momentum throughout the entire game. So like, if I came across one of the secret orb rooms, it was by mistake. Like, I wasn't searching. Here. I wasn't searching like every nook and cranny like I usually do with games. I just need to keep going. I need to keep going. Like, I don't know what I'm running from. I don't know what I'm outrunning, but I feel an urge to keep running. So that's one thing that I think that was probably something that they were trying to do, just given the nature of the game and that really resounded with me. So yeah, I think I found maybe like 3 orbs when there's like, I think 13.
Wow. 13. I was going to guess 6 or 7. I found like 2.
There are quite a bit.
They were purely by accident, like going the wrong way.
Yeah. I remember when I played it, like I found I found half of them on my own. And then after I beat the game, I used like a guide to find the rest of them. But I remember the one that made me like, I remember just being so irritated with was the one in the cornfield. Just because I was like,
I didn't even know there was one in the cornfield.
Like that was when I got really frustrated. But I kind of agree. This wasn't like a Metroidvania, if you will. You know, it's like you keep going right and you don't get to go back, you know? Mm-hmm. Like things happen. Like, and so it's one of the like same thing with you, right? Like, it irritates me when it's like, oh, like you didn't even know until you get to like, oh, this is the 3rd orb, you know?
Right. When you discover something like that, it's like, how many have I missed?
Yeah, and then especially when it like, you know, when it's a big, like you get the true ending. It's like,
yeah, it can be a little frustrating.
Yeah.
Wait, the ending is different if you don't get all the orbs?
Not really.
No, it shows you a different scene that might happen.
It's an alternate ending.
Kind of.
Yeah. Where you can't play the game anymore after you experience it.
Oh, I did not know that.
Like you can, but like the story comes to an end there as opposed to if you just continue to go right the whole time.
Gotcha, on the beach, right?
Yeah.
And they talk, if you watch the videos, Kevin, he talks about it there, so you don't have to worry about, unless you want to, playing through and 100%ing it.
Yeah.
Are we talking about the second ending?
Well, that's what we were talking about just now.
Okay.
So, I mean, do you guys have any other, like, theories for, you know, that we've already shared a few, but have any theories you haven't shared of like what, you know, what was happening? What was happening?
Not really a theory, but with what we get, you are free to kind of form your own ideas of what exactly did happen, and you could talk for hours or whatever for coming up with theories as to what exactly is happening. This is reminding me of Little Nightmares, where you don't really have any definitive narrative what's going on until they had the comics come out that gave like a little bit of context to it.
They never even finished releasing it.
I know you mentioned that they never finished it, but that kind of gave a context and explanation for it. So it sort of is like not really leaving as much up to the vision of the viewers. Kind of like another example would be, which is the thing that kind of they shouldn't have done with Star Wars, was where they always talked about the Kessel Run, with Han Solo doing the Kessel Run. And we never knew what the Kessel Run was exactly, and it was free to your imagination to be what it was. And then they finally actually made a movie where they showed the Kessel Run.
Do they not have it in other media? Because there are comic books, there are books, there are hundreds.
I mean,
they might have had it in some books and stuff where it was described, but there was no like visual set in like full 100% canon thing until
the books and comics are canon.
Yeah, only super new ones.
The only canon when Disney bought it, or Disney.
No, that's wrong. No, that's wrong.
Nope.
Moving on.
Anyway, I feel
with Little Nightmares though that it was like, I feel Little Nightmares was more tight than this game. Like mm-hmm. I felt like this game was yes more like you had more atmospheric beauty, but like I felt like the message. I mean, and it was a very vague message in Little Nightmares, sure, but I didn't feel as confused at the end of it. Like at the end of it, I was like, oh, this is what I think happened. And I was okay with that. But like at the end of this, I was like, I don't know.
No idea.
Well, I think that was kind of like, I think Little Nightmares was, you know, they had certain themes and points that they wanted to get across that they did get across. Whereas like, I mean, I think Inside was one of those games, like, yeah, there was something they're trying to tell, but I think at the same time, they're also like, they purposely wanted to make a very ambiguous kind of game. Like, I think that's part of the design of this one. Whereas, like, Little Nightmares,
it's like
they had a very set vision, and also the world Little Nightmares was in, like, that was a little more, you know, fantastical, like,
and when nailed down.
When you started that game, you knew this was not a normal world.
Yeah.
This one, it's like, oh, it's normal, and then you're like, oh, well, that's a little weird. That's okay. There's a little more weird stuff, and then it's just like, wait, what? You know,
way weird.
It's an interesting thought, and maybe you guys have opinions on this, but like, it's an interesting thought to me, like you saying that, like. So, I mean, I play games. We play games probably in game chat before where it's like, it's just, you know, we want to try and find meaning in it, but it's just a bunch of things thrown together. What separates something like that from something like this? Like, what gives this like something like, oh, well, this, you know, it's trying to be ambiguous. That's the whole point of it, to just being like us thinking that that's their point, but they're just throwing spaghetti at the wall.
So the game that comes to my mind first when you say that is the whatever the walking sim was that we played with the AI where you find the lost ship. What was the one that we called?
Oh, yeah.
Event Zero or Tacoma?
Yeah. Event Zero, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like Event Zero was trying to tell a specific narrative atmospherically, whereas this game is trying to discuss themes atmospherically over the frame of a narrative. And so while getting whatever narrative that Event Zero was trying to tell depended on you picking up every single piece of conversation, I feel like, with the AI and reading every entry and log and basically having to play the game through several times to feel like you knew what they were trying to tell you. Inside, I think you don't need 100% of the narrative to understand the themes. And I think with Inside, they were more concerned with trying to communicate themes than they were trying to tell a specific story.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, definitely Inside was more abstract, just touching on themes without putting out a story, so to speak. Yeah.
And
a little bit thin story, but it was just like it wanted to hit certain notes. And, you know, it wasn't really a full-fledged piece of music. It was just sort of like, well, here's this chord and here's this chord. And it's up to you maybe if you want to put them together, but this is the things we want to touch on.
Yeah, and I think
Errant signal is a little bit not as generous as perhaps he could be. I talked to Steph about this, but he said that basically, like, people need to quit trying to draw, like, a specific narrative and just, like, enjoy it for what it is, which is, I feel, a little bit too, like, preachy. But for my personal impression, I feel like it was more focused on themes than it was on a specific narrative.
Oh, you really summed up what he said, man. Like, it was a good three sentences that she just totally put into, like, what she just said. The quote was, "I think there's a line between criticism and fan theory, and that line starts getting blurry when a game's intentional ambiguity and abstraction is ignored in favor of crafting a definitive canon that might not really exist." That was good, Madeline. That was a praise to you, by the way.
Thank you. I tried to be more kind in the podcast than I was in my drag message to you.
Well, you know, it's understandable. Yeah, I mean, you know, and whether that makes it a good game or a bad game is, you know, everybody's personal taste. I mean, I was going to say, when we were talking about Little Nightmares and comparing that to this, I think Little Nightmares, narrative-wise, was like a 6 on a scale of 1 to 10, where this is like a 2. Narrative-wise, it's just very, you know, sort of just like there. It's I don't want to say an afterthought, but, you know, to try to be fair to it. But it's kind of just like, you know, this is what we want to present and, you know, leave it up to you kind of thing.
This is reminding me of, I think it was last week that we had 3 games.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where Steph was reading like so much into like all of them.
It's
a natural thing.
Life, guys. Yeah. It's my lot in life. Like, it's from like years of Lost and watching these really like ambiguous like TV shows that I'm like, what does it mean?
I thought you were gonna like go like you with your, you know.
Well, it's not a bad thing. It's a like thirst for meaning. You want to get meaning out of things. So, you know, that's not a bad thing.
All right. Well, you guys have any other thoughts before we start into final thoughts and scoring for Inside?
This game is really about the blah, 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 blah.
It's really about the what? I'm sorry. Didn't
no,
that.
Blah, blah, blah. No. It was just gonna. Think of anything.
That's okay.
Anything
that's
right. Weird. This is really about the Roswell alien invasion in the 1960s, 50s. I don't remember when Roswell was.
Well, Roswell was a 1990s TV show. I don't know what else you're thinking of. So
the aliens. Wait,
you know why that show was called? We'll talk about this after the podcast.
I loved Roswell so much. Anyways, all right. So, so Chris didn't finish the game. Chris, do you are you abstaining from scoring?
Yeah. Just because I got to the, I think I'm like slightly past the halfway point. Maybe, possibly, somewhere around there.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, the game itself is visually pleasing. As I said before, the whole underwater part when you're in the submarine and you have all the silt and everything kind of floating around in the water, when your light is flashing or is shining through the water, just really adds a lot of immersion, I guess, to the game you're playing. Just the puzzles are not overly difficult. It just challenges you to think differently as to how to go about solving it. There have been a few times where I was just like, okay, this isn't working. What do I need to do? And I've gone to a walkthrough and I was like, okay, so I do just need to like stop and wait before I advance, because there are a few times where Like, you have to wait for the dogs to get to a certain point and then advance, because it then slows the dogs down, so, which gives you just like a fraction of a second more to get past them. The other thing too that I like about the game is it makes you not afraid to die, because it takes you back to a point in the game that was not too far from where you died in the first place, especially after a very stressful or difficult puzzle, which just, I wish more games were like that, really. Because it makes you want to continue to play the game and come back to playing it, because there are so many times, and I know we've all complained about it before on Game Chat here, where we're playing a game and we die and we're brought back to like the very beginning, and we have to sit through the cutscene and the conversations all over again, which is like 30 seconds to a minute long, and we just want to get on with the show. But this is just like, you die, you're brought back 30 seconds ago, which is great. Although I wish you could just kind of like skip some of the death scenes, because especially with the dogs, because it get a little graphic at times, and it's like, I really don't want to be constantly seeing this
little kid die.
It was almost to the point of like Madeline had brought up in the last days of June, how it was more almost torture in a way, of rewatching the deaths over and over again in kind of almost the same way.
Yeah.
And it was like, can we just like stop? And it's like, we know he got bit, but can we please not hear the crunch of his neck being cracked, snapped, and seeing his throat being torn out and stuff like that? But other than that, I'm probably going to continue and hopefully finish the game tomorrow. I'm not going to score it because I haven't finished it, and I'd rather wait till I finish it before I'd even go to that point. So yeah, that's my thoughts.
Thank you. Madeline, final thoughts on scoring?
I'm not going to score it because I didn't play it. I just watched the videos. But I appreciate atmospheric storytelling in a platformer in a way that typically you would get only in like a walking sim or maybe like a roguelite. But I like that it's more... I don't know. I guess I enjoy that it's a game that we can sit around and talk about and have different ideas of what it's saying, but not feel like anybody else's idea is negating our own. I guess I like that it's ambiguous.
Okay. Frank.
Okay. Couple things. As a game, let's set the narrative and that aside for a second. As a game, it was visually really good. The way it presented the environment and, you know, how things interacted with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the visuals were great, and the physics were with, you know, the puzzles and how things reacted was really well done. And you know, the puzzles, it just were just sort of like you had to noodle it out. It wasn't anything that was, you know, for the most part, overly difficult. Having said that, the ending sort of like, it's like, oh man, it just sort of took away from, at least for me, it was like, when I play, I guess the word is closure. You want, you know, it's like, I've experienced this story, you know, can we, you know, maybe it's a little selfish to want to be wrapped up in a bow, but, some semblance of, you know, what, why did I just, you know, go through this 4 hours of, you know, experience? Why did I just do this?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. So just interesting. So I give it a 7, a solid 7.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you. I thought this game was beautiful. I loved like the sound design in it as well. And the physics was something that I noticed pretty much right away, that it, everything seemed, you know, and then plus they had, which is kind of, you know, if you're going to have puzzles based on physics, then your physics has to be pretty sound. But the sound design was really good. Like playing with headphones on was wonderful. Went along with the atmosphere perfectly. Yeah. And there were parts of the story I liked, and or parts of the game I liked, being at different levels, things that were happening. But, you know, you get to the end, and like Frank was saying, like, and like as I was saying earlier, like, I just, everything got kind of muddled together. And I was just, I can appreciate the game, and I can appreciate it for what it, for, I guess, what they're trying to do. But I guess I was just wanting something more definitive with what they were trying to say to me, I guess. But all in all, like, it was pretty, you know, as far as gameplay goes, mechanics, it was pretty flawless. I mean, it was pretty, you know, it was great. So I'm going to give it a 7. Jonathan.
Yeah. Okay. Like I said, I played this when it, you know, pretty much when it first came out, because I just remember hearing, everyone when it came out, remember everyone who had an Xbox make fun of me was talking about it, just because, you know, hadn't had really that many exclusives when this came out, and it was like all of a sudden this exclusive indie game came out, and it was like, whoa, what is this? And I remember playing it, and I remember it. And I remember, like, we've discussed, like, it was just kind of like, oh, okay, this is interesting. And then going, okay, what? yeah, it's just the art style, the mechanics, and just of the physics, and just how everything, like, moves, like, it's you'd expect it to, even things you never expect to ever think about how they would move, like a big giant flesh arm.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff. It moved as what you'd expect it would, I guess. but and like the sound design was on point, to our detriment sometimes, some cases, you know, the sounds of stuff, but and I remember the puzzles just being, you know, tight and flawless, like you're saying. And so it's a very interesting game. Like, I remember people giving it 10 out of 10s when it came out. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I can see that, but also I hardly give 10 out of 10s to things unless I really enjoy it. It's like, and it's like, not to say I didn't enjoy this game, I didn't appreciate this game, but it's like, yeah, I guess, like, when we were talking about for game chat, I was like, yeah, I don't need to replay it. You know, it's like, but no, it's very solid, and I like the mystery of it, and how we can all talk about it. Alan said. And just how it is, like, it is a game like no other, you know? Like, the closest thing, like, we've been able to talk, compare it to is really Little Nightmares, and even then, it's like, they're these two completely different games. The only thing, you know, it's like, so I like how it's like, it really is just a unique, different game. I'll give it a 7.5.
Okay. Thank you. And Kevin?
Well, I only got it watch video, so I'm not gonna rate it.
Okay.
But I get the idea of more wanting to express themes in this game rather than a narrative. 'Cause as a cohesive narrative, it'd be really hard to establish one without a whole lot of text to back it up within the game itself. I love the art style, where it's a combination of detail and minimalism at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to the people in the game. Because they don't have faces, and in some cases I think they're wearing masks. Seems like. Puzzle-wise and mechanically, it seemed pretty sound and not overly difficult. Maybe a little bit tricky at some points, but not anything that would have someone stumped for that long. So overall, seems like a pretty good game.
Cool. Thank you. I will get these scores tallied and posted up. Thank you guys for chatting about it with me. Next week we are talking about our October month chat, which we've had like a month and a half to play, but I think most of us are playing it this week, which is cool. Same as usual, business as usual. Mm-hmm. Like we can't do this for our lives, guys. Yeah, so that's October the 15th, next Tuesday. We're talking about Layers of Fear 2, which is released back in March of 2019, by the Bloober team, and published by Gun Media. A little synopsis of the game is Layers of Fear 2 is a first-person psychological horror game with an emphasis on exploration and story. Players control a Hollywood actor who heeds the call of an enigmatic director to take on the lead role in a film shot aboard an ocean liner. Beware, for all may not truly be what it seems. And then after that, we are bringing, celebrating the rest of October with the final season of The Walking Dead after that. And of course, if you're participating in the Dragon Age Inquisition chat, keep playing, or start playing, or get back to playing, as is my case. Want more game chat? You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Podcasts under The Game Chat for all past and current shows. Keep up to date on what's going on by following us on Twitter at @the_game_chat and search for us on Facebook under Game Chat. Leave us a review or a question or a topic for our current game, and we might read it on the show. Email us those at chatwithus@thegamechat.net. And if you want to join in on a chat, you can email us at jointhechat@thegamechat.net or send us amazing pictures of dogs at notenoughdogs@thegamechat.net. Come back next week where we're chatting about Layers of Fear 2. So until next Tuesday, thanks for listening, and I'll chat at you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.